Well, how are we doing tonight? Good, good, great. That's great. I want you to be thinking of some names of great missionaries. Maybe you read some autobiographies of missionaries, or some biographies, I'm sorry, of missionaries, and you've heard about some missionaries down through the years, and let's come up with some names here in just a little bit. But I failed to mention this morning our plans for after furlough. We've been to the home office, and they, though we're going to be on retired status, they've told us you can go back and serve the Lord, as you've been doing, if you want to. And so we're going to be doing that. In fact, we're probably, the Lord's been laying on our hearts to maybe help out that young pastor there in the Tomoval Church that they dedicated their building right now, today, there by camp. He's got two big jobs on his hand, one being a pastor of a church, another being a camp caretaker. And we think maybe we can help him out there, get some more people in that church and so on, do some visitation and do some preaching, help him out with the preaching and so on. And so pray with us about that. But if the Lord gives us strength and health, that's kind of what we like to do, get that third daughter church up and on a better grounds. They have just a few adults there is all, and some children. But there's some more adults in the community that are interested, and so we would like to help him out there with that. The Word of God tells us, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, every Christian should be involved in some way or in some ways or in many ways of getting that great commission that Christ gave to us when he left this planet and went back to heaven. And I know that many of you, I've heard testimonies, many of you are witnessing to people, you're concerned about that, you're very interested in your missions program here and so on, and we praise God for that. But there's, once in a while, there's a person who says, "Well, I can't go, you know, I just can't do it." Let me tell you a story, a true story. We were serving in a church, and we visited this one lady out in the rural area. She was a lady that was crippled up with arthritis. Not only her fingers were like this, her whole body was like this, and she was only 50 some years of age, and she was bedrest. It was really painful to get out of bed. Even when they changed the sheets in her bed, it was painful for her to be moved and to roll over and so on. And so every time we go out there, and I try to get out there once a month or something like that and take some young people with me, because not only were we a blessing to her, because we would share the Word of God, sing some songs with her. She couldn't go to church, of course, and so we'd sing and have a little time of fellowship there with her. She would bless our hearts as well. And she'd always ask me, "Now, Pastor, do you have some tracts?" Well, I always carried tracts, especially for her, and I'd try to take some new ones for her, because though she was bedfast, she couldn't get out and do things, she was a missionary. And she used her grandchildren. And she gave a tract to this little grandson. She said, "Take that over to neighbor so-and-so and give it to him." And then she'd pray for that neighbor. And then she'd tell her granddaughter, "Now, you go take this tract and give it to that neighbor." And that little girl would take it over to that neighbor, give it to him. You know. And so she had this ministry of giving tracts, sowing the seed of the Word of God through her grandchildren and then praying. So we can always do something, can't we? There's none of us that would probably be in that situation and where we don't have any excuses, really. So we need to be serving the Lord as missionaries. And we're going to consider tonight some great missionaries. Now you have some names. Who are they?
Chuck and Irene
Bouquet. Oh, there you go. Okay.
Adoniram Judson.
George Mueller.
Tom Linder,
Rukala,
Finland.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Pardon?
Bob Farthing.
Pardon? Abe Gunther. Man, I haven't heard that name for a long time. I remember when he used to come back and show his film, and then he'd take that airplane off, and then he'd back the airplane up. You remember that? With an 8-millimeter projector. 8-millimeter projector, and he had that projector up there, and he'd take off, and then he'd turn it reverse and bring that plane right back down. He served over in Africa, and he was a pilot, right? Abe Gunther, how about that?
Carl Lieben.
Wow, I have not heard that name for a coon's age either. Carl Lieben, what a great missionary he was, wasn't he? Bill Bursell up in Alaska. Carl Lieben. Does someone know where Carl Lieben served other than the pastor? Where did he serve, honeybees?
Liberia.
He served in Liberia. And then he was down in the Caribbean for a while, too. There you go. That's it. That's right. But first of all, he was over in Liberia for years and years. My wife wrote letters to one of their daughters as a little girl. Yeah. How about that? Another one? Oh, the Taylors, yeah, the Taylors, right. Phil Taylor, Evie Taylor, the grandma, no? Yeah. Well, there's been lots of great missionaries down through the years. William Carey, David Livingston.
Little kid, I used to pray for the Metzlers, the Drinkbergs, and the Shooks.
How about that? The Shooks in Japan, huh?
Yeah, Metzlers,
right. Great missionaries. But you know, there have been a lot of great missionaries, but there's one who's been greater than all of them. And you know who that is, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater missionary than Christ himself. And we're just going to look at a verse tonight in John chapter 3. Can you guess what verse we're going to look at? It's the verse that's known all around the world. 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you tonight for your great mercy, your great love, your great grace, your great pardon, forgiveness. And Father, all that we have and all that we are, we owe to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to you. Thank you, O God, for being so great in saving us, being so great in giving us your word, and being so great in allowing us not only to be your children, but to be your servants, and to take your precious word and share it with those about us who need to know a Savior. Thank you for giving us a model, the greatest example of a missionary tonight, and we pray that you'll help us to learn from him. In Christ's name we pray, amen. There's two aspects of this great missionary that we would like to consider this evening. The first aspect is the world's greatest missionary loved the world. He loved the world. Now we need to get a little definition of that word love, because today, in this day and age, the word love has all kinds of definitions that wouldn't be a biblical definition here. And so we need to realize that when the Word of God here says God so loved the world, that we're talking about a great desire, a longing for. He longed for the world. He had a great desire for the world. We see that in a great compassion that he showed when Christ came to this earth. And let's look at Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 through 38 and see the great compassion that Jesus had. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. that in itself would show us the desire and the love that he had for the world. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And we see here the great compassion of our Savior, the greatest missionary that ever lived. Not only did he have a compassion for the world and the people in the world, but he had a compassion for reaching those people. And he asked his disciples to pray to the Father, pray to the Creator, pray to the one who created all of these beings, that he would send forth laborers into that great harvest field. So he so loved the world, he manifested this compassion for the world. And then another time, he showed a great lamentation for the world. That love was shown in Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 37. When he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The great lamentation of the greatest missionary in the world for the chosen people of Israel. And I was just looking at some of your things on the table this afternoon and realized that, you know, God has not given up on his children, has he? Israel is very much in the mind of our Savior, the greatest missionary in the world. He's just more patient than we are sometimes. And there's coming a day, and who knows, it might be those oil fields that they've discovered, those gas fields they've discovered over there in Israel, that will bring people to Armageddon to have that last battle, and all of the things in that 7 years of tribulation that are going to help God's chosen people to turn to him. And when Christ comes back, they're going to receive him, and he's going to bring them to himself, just as he wished he could have right here in the first time he came to Jerusalem. Do you have that great compassion? Do you have that great longing and that love for a world that is lost without a Savior? I recall years ago when I was just a lad up there in northern Minnesota, and we had a small farm, and my dad was a one-horse contractor, and we made most of our living by construction rather than the farm. And so we would have neighbors come in to do the baling or whatever. And so one afternoon, I'd cut the hay and we'd raked it up and got it ready for the baler, and one of the neighbors came in, Mr. Travis, came in to bale the hay. Mr. Travis was a Catholic. He went to Catholic church. And Dad, after we were all done baling in the evening, Dad witnessed to him. And he was in his vehicle ready to go back home, and Dad was there standing by his door sharing the gospel with him, and he was listening very intently. And I recall watching from the porch out there that scene. And pretty soon tears were coming down my dad's cheeks. He wanted so much to see Mr. Travis come to know Christ as his personal Savior. And we need to have that love and that longing for people, that we would be moved as Christ was moved for them. Maybe we need to be singing every day, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Do you have a longing in your heart? Now let's look at that. We've seen a little bit of the definition of that love. Let's look at the dimension of that love. God so loved what? The world. The world. Not a certain ethnic group. And we as missionaries can get hung up with that. Not just a certain ethnic group. Not just a certain economic class. And my, it's so easy just to go to the economic class that we feel comfortable with. Praise God for some missionaries in Peru who have gone out of their comfort zones. not only to win the low class, but we have a couple missionaries that go to the upper class. And they've gone to upper class people, and they've started some upper class church, and we praise God for that. Because upper class people need Christ. They sure do, don't they? And some of them are more receptive to the Word of God than some of the others. And so not just a certain economic class or an ethnic group or a certain easy group. People are responding. We'll go to those. Boy, Prue is responding. Let's flood Prue with missionaries. That's fine. Let's do that. But let's not just get hung up there. There's other places. Evelyn has a sister. Some of you know her, Wanda and Andrew Barnes, over there in France. And they've served a lifetime over there, and they don't have a church yet. You know, they've found some people been saved and so on. But it's just difficult in some areas. And it's not because he's not out there evangelizing, out there witnessing. It's just that people are difficult in some areas. But we need to have the dimension of going to all people groups. Christ went out of his comfort zone. Why can't we go out of our comfort zone? It wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus Christ to leave all the glories of heaven. Christ being perfect, the Son of God, coming to this earth, taking the form of a human being, of a man, living among sinners, even though he didn't sin himself, living among us as sinners, and then going to a cross and shedding his blood for those sinners. I mean, that's really going out of a comfort zone, isn't it? Are you loving the unlovely? It's not something that just happens. We have to create a love for the unlovely. Now, the world's greatest missionary not only loved the world, but the world's greatest missionary gave of himself. And we want to look at this aspect of missionary life tonight, too. Let's look at the definition of giving. It was a sacrificial giving. You remember when Abraham took Isaac, instructed by God to go to Mount Moriah and to offer him as a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice for Abraham, wasn't it? How many of you dads could take your son and do what Abraham did? Well, that's a real test of loyalty, isn't it? Loyalty to God, loyalty to my son. But you know, we think of that as a difficult thing for Abraham. But don't you think it was a difficult thing for Isaac too? How old was Abraham when he offered his son Isaac? How old was Isaac? The Bible doesn't tell us, as far as I know, but we normally figure he's 14, 15, something like that maybe. So that would have made Abraham how old? 114, 115, exactly. Now, if Isaac didn't want to succumb to this little operation of laying on an altar and being sacrificed, don't you think he could have outrun his dad? Oh, I bet he could have. He could have taken off. He could have left the scene of the accident, couldn't he? He could have run away from his dad. But you see, he did not do that. So we find here that he was willing to give his life too. That's great, isn't it? Dad and son on the same page, same wavelength, both willing to give their lives for God. Tremendous. It wasn't something, Jesus didn't give something that was just left over. John chapter 10, I love John chapter 10, which speaks of sheep. How many of you have had sheep? Have you had sheep on the farm? Yeah, some of you have. Well, we had 60 sheep one time. They need a shepherd. they need protection. And Jesus says here in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, what? Giveth his life for the sheep. Giveth his life for the sheep. That was what was in the heart of the greatest missionary, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to give his life for the sheep. He spent his life for them. It was something dear to his heart. It wasn't something just left over. I remember going down a main avenue in Lima towards the airport years and years, and there was a Catholic church there, and beside that, there was a sign on a wall that you could read from the avenue which said, what you don't need, give to the Lord. And there was a slot in the wall there where you could drop in old clothes or whatever, you know. Well, that's not what David said, is it? David said, if I can't sacrifice, it's not worth anything. If I can't pay, then I'm not going to give it. And not something left over, something dear to your heart. Victory Baptist Church supported a missionary up in the mountains, and we would go up every year to help him out, spend a week there evangelizing, knocking on doors and so on, having meetings in the evening and so on. And every time we go, we'd invite the people in the church to fill up a box. Well, every year the box got bigger, and every year the box overflowed. People just loved to give to that missionary up there. And so we took a whole pickup load of stuff up to the missionary that they could use. And we just praise God for people who are giving. And we know that you folks are giving. And we praise God for that. And we need to give of ourselves. What are you giving? What are you giving to fulfill the Great Commission? Are you giving of your time? Giving of your children? Sometimes that's the hardest thing to give. We can give material goods. And sometimes there are people in our churches that are very, very faithful in giving, but they want to give their children to go to the mission field. I trust that won't happen to you. You know, come to think about it, we give of our sons to go to war. And in World War II, how many American soldiers lost their lives? Thousands. Thousands of them lost their lives. Had we sent 1,000 of our sons over to Germany before that to do missionary work, maybe we would not have had to send millions over there and have thousands of them lose their lives. It's better to give of our sons to go to the mission field than it is to go to war. It was a selfless giving. He emptied himself. And let's look at that classic passage on emptying himself in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, he's the example, he's the model, but we're supposed to have the same mindset that he had. We're supposed to imitate him in this. And what did he do? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We see here that God emptied himself completely. He was willing to just give of himself to others. I think of one of the missionaries we had in Peru. And maybe some of you might know Dan Muth. He was only there about 10 years and worked in the Cusco area. His father was my roommate in Bible college, and because of a presentation we did in their church out in Colorado, Dan was led of the Lord to go to the mission field. And God had given to Dan a lot of talents. He was a good song leader. He was a good preacher. He preached the Word of God well. He was our radio technician for Cusco, and that was the first radio ministry we had, was in Cusco, and Dan was it. When anything went wrong with those apparatuses, those electronic things, Dan figured it out, and he got the parts for it and everything. He was a good radio technician. He played the trumpet very well. He was a mechanic. Anything went wrong with any of the cars, vehicles, the other missionaries, Dan was there to fix them. He was a good professor in the Bible college there in Urubamba. And he knew computers. Years ago, he was the computer man there. And I recall when Tim Watley was serving down in Paucartambo. It's about 4 or 5 hour drive down there in a car. And the only way they communicated was by ham radio. And I remember one time, Tim said, called up Dan. Dan said, my computer, I don't know what's wrong. I just can't get it going. You know, there's something wrong. I can't get it. So Dan, though he had things to do that day, he grabbed it on. He got on his motorcycle and went down there. And usually takes 4 hours, but he cut across, you know, the road goes like this and like this. He'd cut across, go down over, and he got there in 2 to 2.5 hours and fixed it, came on back again. I mean, that's the way he was. He just gave of himself. We need to be that type of people, imitating our Savior, who's willing to give of himself. He expected nothing in return. He emptied himself and then expected nothing in return. For the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God. It's a gift. He didn't expect anything in return. And we have so many groups of people in Christianity that think they have to somehow earn heaven. It's a gift. You can't earn heaven. You can't earn salvation. It's a gift of God. And he doesn't want any other way. We cannot do anything to merit that great gift. We're foolish in thinking that we can do something to earn the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. It's a gift. For by grace are you saved. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He invites us to believe. He does not coerce us. He doesn't make us to believe. He invites us to believe. It's a gift. We've seen a little bit of the definition of giving. Now let's look at the dimension of that giving. That giving also was to the whole world. It was from heaven to earth, to the entire world. It's not like sending your son to Africa. That giving was much, there's a greater contrast there. You send your son to the deepest Africa, we think that's a real sacrifice and that's really giving of ourselves. But you see, God sent his son from a perfect heaven, a glorious heaven, where all the angels glorified him. He sent him to this earth where no one glorified him. That's completely different. And I don't know of a good illustration. I've come up with something, but maybe if you and I could take one of our sons and have him be converted into a worm and crawl in the filth of the earth and then die for those worms, something like that. That's not a good illustration. But that's what Christ did when he left the glories of heaven. That tells us something of the dimension of his giving. It was for the world, not only to the world, but for the world. Whosoever believeth, slave or master, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, Malaysian or Mexican, Cherokee or Chippewa, rich or poor. It didn't make any difference to him. It's for the whole world. What a great missionary. What a great giving. What a great love he had for us. There's been no missionary that has shown greater love and greater giving than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to die for us. But you know, we're admonished by the Word of God to imitate him, to follow him, to do as he did. So the question tonight is, how are you doing as far as loving the world? Neighbors, relatives, people in the workplace? How about giving? Are we giving of ourselves, or are we, you know, hoarding back some things for us? We kind of like to have a certain lifestyle here. Are we willing to give of ourselves? Give of our means, give of our time to serve God? I'm not criticizing. I'm just trying to encourage you to do more, maybe. You've done a lot, probably. I don't know all of your lives. And I just praise God for people in our churches who do that and just give of themselves. We know sometimes we can give more, can't we? We can love more. And we just need to be asking God to show us from day to day how we can love others and how we can give of ourselves for others. Oh, God, help us tonight to be faithful to you and to uplift the greatest missionary that ever lived, your Son, our Savior. We pray, oh God, that you'll help us to imitate him too and to give of our lives until you would take us from this life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.